Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Gather and Grow podcast. My name is Libby Robinson, and I'm your host. And as I always say, I'm very excited for this week's episode. But this week, I am super duper excited because our guest is someone that I really, really look up to. She is really, has touched my heart through the words that she shared. I've mentioned on previous episodes about a program called Teen Pact Leadership Schools that I have been involved in for several years. And so at this year at an event that I was at, she was speaking and just really shared some awesome words of truth. And so Lydia Shanks, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it a lot.
Thanks for having me.
I'd love if you want to just tell a little bit about yourself so people who are listening aren't just like, who's this woman?
Super random. My name is Lydia, and I am originally from Virginia. I moved to Georgia about 5 years ago, and I used to be a student at Teen Pact, and then I also used to work at Teen Pact. In between that, I've done a number of other things, including work in politics and education and retail and film, and now I'm working in management and leadership consulting.
Awesome. Yeah, we were just talking about she just moved nearby, so I drove up to her house and we're just sitting here having a conversation, so I'm very excited. And one thing, when you spoke at National Convention, I think one thing that just really stuck out to me is you're talking about how there's just like a season of your life where you just were trying really hard to just stay positive but you just eventually just kind of ran dry. And so just kind of jumping straight in, I'd love to hear a little bit about your story and just kind of how God has gotten you where you are now and how you stay connected to the Word in those seasons where you feel dry, I guess.
Yeah, that's something that I think more people relate to than we realize. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a Christian home and in a good Christian church and in a good Christian community. So I'm super grateful for all of those gifts that were given to me at a young age and all growing up. But I think one of the drawbacks or one of the misnomers is that you have all of those things and it means that you're always okay. Mm. Or it means that you are always, there just becomes lots of levels of expectations. And so part of it, I'm a firstborn. I like to help people. I like to lead people. I like to serve. My family are all people that give and serve in their community. And so growing up, I just continue to give and serve and give and serve and give and serve. Mm-hmm. And so many of those things, those opportunities shaped who I am today and the opportunities I've had professionally and personally and in ministry and that kind of thing. But there definitely is a tendency to perform, to begin to do things not out of joy, but out of duty, and not out of like overflow in your heart, but to do it kind of when you're running really low. Mm. And for years, I didn't know how to listen to those warning signs, whether that was physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally. And so I spent so much of my life giving and giving because I thought that's what pleased God. Mm. I thought that's what pleased other people. I wanted to make people proud of me. And so kind of accidentally, just by default of who I was, so much of my testimony is about proving myself to the Lord and proving myself to my church and my community. And because I was able to lead and serve and do some cool stuff at a young age, I thought, ooh, I've made it. I get an extra gold star because I've shown up and done these great things and people are patting me on the back and people are impressed and look, Jesus, look what I brought to you. Yeah. And after a lot of time doing that, when my church went through a really difficult season, a church split, and it kind of split and then like split again and it was just a very painful season. There were a lot of people in my life that had died, whether tragically, well, all of these were premature deaths in my opinion, but just suffering around me, tragedy around me, abuse around me, just like learning is like the Christian veneer of perfection started fading away. And I started realizing I didn't have the capacity to handle everybody else's pain. Yeah. I didn't have the capacity to fix everyone else's lives. I started realizing I was really barely holding my own life together.
Yeah.
And in those things, I started realizing my limitations. I started realizing my, whether sinful habits of control or whether it's really just relational bad habits of giving because that's how I thought I needed to be loved, or whether it was kind of the spiritual mindset that if I wasn't performing, that God wasn't pleased with me. So you put all of those pieces together, and it took me to a really tough spot a few years ago where my job ended, my church was in shambles, a lot of my relationships had shifted, and I've been at that point, I feel like, several times in my life, where everything that I thought was sure falls away. And it reveals where my hope has been. It reveals what I bring to the table. And when I realized that the first time I kind of walked through a season of depression, I realized, like, I have nothing to bring to the table. Like, I can't hardly get out of bed. And so, does God love me even if I bring nothing to the table? Is the work of Jesus strong enough that if I have nothing to contribute, that he continues to build his kingdom? Are the people in my life loved enough by God that if I hurt them, that God's grace is bigger in their lives than my influence in their lives? So I look at my whole story growing up and into my adult life and into even the last few years of really starting to understand where my identity lies, and that identity of being loved by God, that Jesus is the only one that God's impressed with, and that when I look at the promises of Scripture, that, like, God always wins, whether that's looking in every psalm or every word of the gospel or reading to Revelation or even the battles of the Old Testament, like, every page of Scripture is Jesus is the hero. And so learning to actually orient my life that way has changed everything. And I see now how I grew up going, oh wow, I see how I needed this. I see how I wouldn't have learned these things if I hadn't made some of those mistakes and seen some of my own blind spots. So
what is that? What did that kind of look like, I guess, like, practically for you, trying to live in such a way where you, like, believe that truly? Because I think, like, it's a lot easier said than done to, like, if, like, for me to say, like, I believe that God is the hero, God is the victorious, and, but how do you, like, practically live that out? Like, I guess, what's practical application for that?
Big pieces are preparing my heart, storing up God's word. You know, when you're little, that's what people tell you, hide God's word in your heart. But literally learning his promises, reading good books, reading good, listening to good podcasts, listening to the right voices that build my faith and help me understand who God is and what he's doing. And when I know that, and it's rooted in Scripture, and it's supported by accountability and supported by community, those things all working together on the daily basis, even on the days that I feel good, those are things that serve me on the days that I don't feel good. So knowing who God is, so that's through Bible studies and reading, journaling, prayer, reading the Scripture. So, like, those kind of spiritual disciplines make a big difference. And then having community and mentors and voices in my life that allow me to live in the light, that know my crazy, that know my doubts, that know my fears, that know my story, and are safe people to hold those things. That really makes a difference when I can't see clearly and when I don't believe. I need people that look at me and say, hey, you're going to be okay. Not because you're awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. And that is a huge difference. So spending a lifetime building up that. And, you know, there are days, honestly, that I remember opening my eyes in the morning and just thinking, all I know, like, God, are you there? And are you in charge? And he always said yes. And that was it. That was all I got. And that was all I needed. please tell me someone's in charge of this crazy spinning planet and that it's going to be okay in all the right senses. And if I know that, then sometimes that's all I need to know for the day. So it's not magical. Actually, my faith has gotten a lot more childlike. I think the older I've gotten because it's just simplified. Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. And like, I'm in his hands. He's in charge. Okay. And it's so, I don't have any fancy secrets.
No, but I think that's important. And like the point about having childlike faith, because it says in scripture, like, have faith like a child. And the disciples are like, what are you talking about? Like, what in the world? But I think it's so true, because when you just look at the basics of, like you said, like, are you there, God? Like, do you love me? And are you in control? Like, when you understand those basics, then it just makes life so much simpler. It really, like, life might not be simpler, but the outlook is better, I feel like.
And I personally, and I think other people do too, I'm drawn to fireworks over faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I want things that are radical, things that are hard, and things that are impressive, whether that's to God or to people or my job or wherever. And there's just not a lot in scripture about, like, that fireworks is what God calls us to. There's a lot about faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Faithful preaching, faithful prayer, faithful serving, faithful time with the Lord where no one sees. And as I cultivate the faithfulness, maybe there's fireworks every so often, but it's not about the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm chasing fireworks, they're going to last for a few seconds. Yeah. But if I'm chasing faithfulness, then that's a testimony. Mm-hmm. And that's been so a battle. And Psalm 37 talks about trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness. Mm. And just that idea to dwell here, to like build a house and plant a garden and have the neighbors over and like live in the space where God's given me, and to befriend faithfulness. And then from there, when it's time to do the next thing, that God's going to take me.
Yeah.
And that he wants to be in this space with me. And at the end of the day, I have to, if he never has fireworks for me, I'm okay being here because this is where Jesus is. And it's not about the fireworks anymore. It's not about doing something radical for God. Because if I never get there, I'm okay, because in this moment right now, I'm here with Jesus and he's become enough for
that's
me.
That really spoke to me a lot. That's really good. And another thing that stood out to me is, like, you talking about, like, trying to prove and perform. And I think, like, so many, when you grow up in a Christian home and a Christian, everyone just expects that you're just, like, perfect. So I think that there's, I know a lot of girls in my community, and I know that myself falling into that category, sometimes that's a very real struggle. So what, do you have, like, any advice for girls who are facing that, who might just, they don't know how to not perform perfectly and how to just not put up this wall, I guess?
I think there's a lot of layers to that. A whole series of podcasts probably to do on that. I think it comes from identity, and that's relationship with the Lord. So number one, what does God see when he sees you? And if your vertical relationship with the Lord is off, and you think God needs you to perform or wants you to perform. I spent years thinking God was disappointed in me. So number one, I would say it's your relationship with the Lord, understanding how God sees you and really digging. And that takes a lot of honesty. And finding a safe person who can really hear your ugly, crazy thoughts about that. Finding someone who loves Jesus and knows more maybe about life than you do to really help you get that stuff out. Because I think we have to create space for one another as girls to be safe for our crazy and our ugly. But I also know I need mentors in my life that have done a little more life than I have.
Absolutely.
To be able to be like, hey, yes, that's ugly and that's crazy, but here's what Jesus says about it, and you're going to be okay.
That's good.
So identity with the Lord, like, everything stems from that. And I think once you understand, like, hey, this is who God made me to be, this is the version of myself that I am right now, like, then there's just this kind of self-awareness, honesty, that says, like, okay, here's who I am. like warts and all, this is where I am. This is where I'm strong. This is where I'm weak. I'm going to own my sin. I'm going to own my weakness. And having community and voices and accountability, again, walking in the light to grow in those areas.
Yeah.
And I think the more sure we are in Jesus and the more sure we are in who he made us to be, I think the walls and the facade naturally comes down.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anything left to prove because I've already gotten my crazy and my ugly out, and Jesus paid for that, and Jesus loves that, and Jesus is redeeming that. And when you have people in your life that aren't scared by your ugly and your crazy, but they love you and they're speaking light and life and truth and hope to who you are, then I no longer have to perform.
Mm.
Because it's kind of already out on the table.
Yeah.
So getting rid of those like secrets or the shame or the sin, whatever's like in the closets of our hearts, like getting that out and walking in light, as terrifying as that process is, man, there's so much freedom and joy. And all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to put on a facade because that's crippling. That's that's heavy. That's burdensome. It's actually easier to walk, and that's what Jesus is like, my yoke is light. Like we put on Jesus, and that's the lighter version of ourselves, which is such a sweet, sweet place to come to.
That's so true. I love that. I think you just said something about the light and just like pursuing the light of Jesus. And I remember at National Convention you talked about it as well, and you talking about, you know, going through depression and things like that. So I was also wondering, like, just advice you might have, because a lot of times just on the podcast it's just like life advice, you know, just advice you might have for girls who are struggling to see the light and girls who are struggling to persevere, maybe kind of what that has looked like for you, I guess, and just like what should they do, I guess.
I think walk in the light is probably the category number one. If you're in a season of depression or anxiety, and especially if you're in a really dark place and you're thinking about hurting yourself or you're thinking about hurting someone else, like, please, like, tell someone, get help. And there's family and pastors, but there's such a great gift of Christian counselors that also know the right questions to ask and to help us out of our cave of darkness. So I think not being afraid to ask for biblical professional help is really important. And sometimes the first step of that is just talking to a parent or a mentor or a pastor. Just say, I don't even know what to do, but this is where I am. So again, Satan wants to keep it in the dark because that's where he controls us. But Jesus says, hey, walk in the light so that I can give you freedom. And that's really scary, and that's a big deal. But when you acknowledge that Jesus is the way, that he's the light, he's the truth, he's the path, that when we come to him, and it goes back to, if you believe who he is, that he's good and he's in charge, that when you come to him, you're going to be given life. You're going to be given hope. You're going to be given healing. But that goes back to, what do you believe about God? So out of that, if like fighting for perseverance, and there are seasons sometimes of depression that are around circumstances or around physical struggles. So figuring out what your body's doing, figuring out what your circumstances are. I know there's a lot in scripture talks about like unforgiveness creates mental anguish and bitterness creates mental anguish. And there are things that you can work through that sometimes relieve levels of depression or anxiety. So learning how to pray through that and how to be self-aware about your own tendencies. And how to, like, for me, I think the big thing is learning to listen and know the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy. And then the voice of the world and the voice of myself. And knowing that when I'm feeling, like, clouded and dark and confused, I'm learning to throw out the voices that are not Jesus. If they are not the shepherd, I need to cover my ears and run for my life because I can't listen to those lies and those accusing voices. So, but that's a process, and you learn God's voice by spending time in his word and spending time with his people and listening and praying. So I think it's a process.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a magic moment where you just like pray.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I know, no struggle with depression.
Yeah.
But I think, I know my story at least, is those have all been tools that God's used so that my depression no longer controls me. Mm. And that's just my story. Everyone has a different level.
Yeah. Definitely.
But when you need to persevere and it feels dark, like knowing who's in charge, knowing who wins, and then hook your wagon to that star. Mm. Because Jesus is going to get you through. Jesus is going to get you to the end. I can't do it. Even my friends are going to fail me. My church is going to fail me. My parents are going to fail me. Jesus is the only one that's going to get us from here home.
Hmm.
And he's going to use other people along the way. But unless Jesus is the hope and the hero and the rock star, I'm going to be disappointed every single time. So...
That's so true.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Perspective on how the story ends, that this isn't how I go, that this is not going to beat me. Because even if it were to beat me, like in the worldly sense, like I'm going to see heaven.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like Jesus wins, but he has so much good work for us to do here.
Mm.
And for anyone that's struggling with whether you have work and purpose and what to do, there's work here. And if you're here, there's a purpose. And God redeems. He takes what's broken and creates something whole. He creates, he takes ashes, which is absolute nothingness. It's the remnants of death. And he can make beauty from remnants of ashes. And if that's the God that we serve, just imagine the beauty that he can take from my life, from that's your so life, true. From... any situation. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe there's no situation too dark and no situation too sad that he can't bring light and life and hope.
That's so true. Well, thank you so much. We're about to run out of time, but thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing all those things. I know I'm like sitting here taking notes and taking these things to heart. So thank you. I really appreciate you being on a lot. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course.